Let's pray. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. We pray it in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Job had lost just about everything. Lost his wealth, his kids, his health, and he didn't know why. Why had this happened? Had he done something? Was someone else to blame? He wanted answers. And he wanted them from God. 2 weeks ago, we read Job voicing this very desire for answers. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Felicity wanted to go to his dwelling too, I think. I would learn there what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. If I could just get an audience with God, if I could just meet him face to face, he would give me what I want. I'm sure of it. Last week, we read that Job got that audience, but it wasn't what he was expecting. We read, "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." It's not a quiet and safe experience. It was a tornado. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me." You demand answers from me, Job? Is that what you think I'm about? Being directed by your demands? You think you know what you need? You think you know what I should and shouldn't do? All right, then if you're so smart, answer me some questions. We might say that God needs some sensitivity training. "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Tell me, Job, you who come with your demands, seeking that I do whatever you want me to do and say whatever you want me to say. Can you, Job, lift up your voice to the clouds so that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightning so that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a masson and into a mass and the clouds cling together? Job, you have questions for me. Who do you think you are?" Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I've heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Not, gee, God, that's mean. Not, but don't you think I could just get a little bit of what I want? Not even, I'm done with this God stuff. Job's words again, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. I've seen the Lord, and I realized that I had no business demanding what he has not given, seeking what he has not promised. He's the sovereign one, and no purpose of his will fail. I am his subject, not his jury, nor his counselor. Job bears the marks of meeting the Lord. I didn't know what I was talking about. Now that I have met him, everything is different. Nothing will ever be the same. In John 1, if you can kind of remember the account, we see something very similar when the priests and the Levites come questioning John the Baptist. If you want to turn to John 1, I'll give you a couple seconds right now. I'm just going to summarize. I'm not going to read straight through. The encounter between the priests and Levites and John the Baptist begins in verse 19 of John chapter 1. Essentially, tell John this. We want answers, John. Who are you? And then what they do is they reach into what they believe they know and have understood so well. Are you the Messiah? We know who the Messiah is going to be. We know what he's going to do. Are you the prophet? Maybe we know Moses promised this prophet to come. Are you maybe Elijah? We know that the last book of the Old Testament promised that Elijah would come before the Messiah comes, so we're expecting him. They're trying to fit John into their categories to make sense of him with their resources and ingenuity. This is what we do, right? We try and make sense out of life. We try and explain it so that we can use things for our purposes. It's what we've become. We've become fixers of the world and explainers of the deep things of reality, so that we can be rescued from our situations and so that we can preserve our people and our place in the world. The priests and the Levites were trying to maintain their perceived control over the situation. Perceived control. John replies to them, I'm just a voice. A voice speaking of one you do not know. Isn't that fascinating? Feel the effect of those words. The first description John gives of Jesus to the priests and the Levites, these are the leaders of the people of Israel, supposedly God's people who are waiting for him. The first description John gives of Jesus is one you do not know. He gives this description to the equivalent of the church. Those whom you'd think would have a clue, who were convinced that they knew what they were talking about. Heck, they'd been at this God and Bible and temple stuff for centuries, let alone decades. Of course they knew what they were waiting for. Of course they knew the God that they were supposedly after. Or so they thought. What's amazing too, if you look down at verses 31 and 33 of John 1, John the Baptist says that he himself didn't even know Jesus until he met him. John the Baptist fits the pattern of the Bible. Those who meet God realize that prior to the encounter with him, they didn't even really know what they were talking about when they spoke of him. Doesn't that make you pause? How do we come to know him? Well, the first step for taking our cues from Scripture, from Job and John, the first step in coming to knowing him is recognizing that you don't. It's so counterintuitive, and it makes us feel really uneasy. Maybe I don't know him. How could the way toward Christ begin with confession? With admitting that I don't know, that I'm not worthy, that he isn't there to meet my demands, that I don't even know what I need. What would it even look like to approach Jesus in a way that corresponds to who he actually is and to who we actually are? This is hard to conceive of. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho, Mark tells us. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. Interesting that he was blind. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many heard the craziness in his voice and sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." No demands. Not, "I know what I need or what you should do." But have mercy on me. I'm undeserving. I don't know. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, our own goodness, our own rightness, but in thy great mercy. We do not deserve to even gather up the crumbs underneath your table. Do you see that this is the only way to come to him who owes us nothing, but means to give us everything we've been created for? The blind guy, ironically, saw. He knew that he was blind. The rest of us think we see. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Notice Bartimaeus asked to be asked this question. No demands. Just mercy. I don't deserve anything from you, Lord. But when asked, the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight. What did he do? And followed him on the way. The blind guy knew he couldn't see. When he regains his sight, what's he do with it? He goes to the only one that can help us see. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before. And they ate bread with him in his house. They showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought up. The evil the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. No answers. Just unexplained, undeserved blessing. But the questions well up in us. Why do you heal some and not others, God? Why did Job's other kids die? Why were those people murdered in Squirrel Hill yesterday? Why did so many in the United States die of the flu yesterday, even this morning? Why is my friend sitting in a wheelchair nearly paralyzed because his temperature went too high a decade ago? Why is my other friend diagnosed at an early age with MS? Why did you take my brother or sister or mom or dad from me so young? Silence. We aren't in the driver's seat, folks. He is. We're along for the ride. But our driver is good. In spite of what we see. And he promises to get us home. Even though we can't see how. We can fight him. Inconceivable as it may be, we can stubbornly cling to our small-mindedness and our self-protective ways. All the way to hell, if we want. We can perish. Or we can turn to the Lamb of God who does not hold our rebellion and fleeing, our sin against us, but bears it. He says, I'll take it. All your imperfection, everything you've thrown at me. And doesn't just bear it, but bears it away. If we will just admit it. And let him. We're left with the same questions. What do you want? Who do you say that I am?